All right. I want to go ahead and use this microphone so that way the introduction gets put on the tape as well, on the MP3. Tape is so 20th century. I mean, that was, people might think 8-track if I use the word tape. We are very blessed tonight to have Bob Thompson here from Oklahoma City. Actually, but from Kansas, which is even further than Oklahoma City. We were in Kansas over the weekend, and appreciate him making the drive all the way down here and then back to Dallas for tomorrow morning. We are very blessed to have Bob here tonight to give us a report from VMI. A number of us are familiar with VMI from previous reports and previous newsletters. Some of us, though, are not. We've been here too. We've arrived too recently and are not as familiar with the ministry of Village Ministries. So this will be a good, we've got a good mixture tonight to receive this report. And I have my teenagers out here tonight. That's very important. I told them last week that they need to pay attention because they're going to be quizzed on information that they're going to hear tonight. I'm going to quiz them on it at our next teen class. We just recently started a book study in 1 Timothy. We went through in the book of Acts where Paul was traveling through the areas of Lystra and Derbe and picked up a young man by the name of Timothy. And Timothy started his missionary career at that point of time, which was Paul's second missionary journey. It was Timothy's first missionary journey. And Timothy was at the age or younger than where you are right now. And so it'll be something for us to review as we go through the book of 1 Timothy together. So pay attention tonight, and you will be quizzed on what you hear. Bob is following not only, it's kind of interesting because we had Dan Hawkins here on Wednesday, and Dan was immediately crushed when I told him that. He asked, he said, has Bob been down here lately? Have you heard from him? And I said, well, actually, he's going to be here on Sunday. And then immediately the pressure hit. And if you were here on Wednesday night, you know how Dan didn't do well with that pressure. His laptop kept crashing on him and all these other problems, and the microphone, the thing hanging on his ear was just totally an irritant for him. So it was a bad night for Dan, which is good. That means the pressure is off of Bob to try to, so the low expectations to try to live up to. Now, we have fun with one another, and that's because grace is a wonderful thing, and you can't beat grace, you can't beat love, and when you're brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a joy. And I don't know how the unbeliever does it. You know, they turn to drugs probably, or alcohol, or women, or something to try to find their joy in life. But we've got the love of Christ that's been shed abroad in our heart, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. So, Bob, would you come and give us the message tonight? I am not going to give Bob the ending time, so he will just go as long as the Spirit leads. Might be till midnight. He was telling me that in Nigeria they'd go for hours and hours and hours and hours. So we'll see how long he takes us tonight. We do, though, stick around later, because after the conclusion of this session, we have a evening social planned with food and refreshments and all the rest. So plan on sticking around after class tonight. All right, Bob?
Midnight, huh?
Midnight, yeah.
Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today that we have. Again, you've just graced us out and give us another day to live. And thank you for this church that you've had Bob here as the pastor and teaching these people. Thank you for that. And thank you for the freedom that you've given us to do that. We know in some parts of the world that's not a given. They don't have the freedom to worship any way they want. And thank you for taking care of us. Please be with us that we can learn something, that we can honor you with what we say and do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Bob Thompson, and I'm with Village Ministries. And yeah, I replaced Hawkins. I mean, he was the CEO of Village Ministries, and now I have to come in after he does his great presentation on Wednesday. That's not fair, Bob. That is not fair. I mean, I'm going to have to call Hawk and find out what he did, you know. But anyway, VMI. The offices are located in Oklahoma City. We're in business because of Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's a command. We have to go. Now, where do you go? I'm in charge of a missionary group, so we go overseas. But see, Pastor Bob is back there in the back, and he goes here. This is his mission field. You're his people that he's ministering to. You have to figure out where your mission field is. It could be at the HEB right down the street. Could be overseas. There's some young people here today that it could be on a mission trip. You know, we could take you to Mexico and you could learn how to witness and how to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he became your Savior. It's kind of fun because you do that and then you see somebody else believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. Really gives you a thrill. I mean, it gives you talk about drugs. That gives you a high. That gives you a high. If you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can have him as a personal Savior, and you see that happen in their lives, and that you had just a little bit to do with that. God uses us when we become available. Only when we become available. VMI, we're non-denominational. We take the gospel overseas. We teach and we evangelize. We go to villages, hence the name Village Ministries. We don't go to the big cities, the Rio de Janeiro's, the Tokyo's. We go to the cities. And you'll see some pictures of that. What we are designed to do is to train and develop nationals. In 1990, VMI started. And here's how we started. Those of you who know Gene Cunningham, Gene did a tape, just like Bob has done many 8-track tapes. Where'd that come from, Bob? A tape. A little tape. And somehow, Gene doesn't know, we don't know, somehow that little tape made it to Nigeria. Tape gets to Nigeria. Guy in Nigeria writes to Gene and says, hey, I bought this tape to just tape over it because I'm a musician, to tape over it, to just put some music on it. But it talked about the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. He said, I want to know more. Well, so Gene and a good friend of his named Jody Brown, Jody was at the ranch. Jody was at Glen Haven Ranch, in charge of Glen Haven Ranch at that time. And Jody didn't have any money. But the kids at the ranch decided, you know, Jody keeps talking about this, going to Nigeria. So they gave him some money. At the summer camp that year, they gave him some money so he can go on a mission, on his first mission trip outside the United States. So he and Gene fly to Nigeria. He and Gene meet Matthias Adi. Now remember, one little tape. Never think whatever you do is not valuable in God's kingdom. One little tape. Now there are 39 pastors working with Matthias Adi off of one little tape. You often think, maybe you sit here in this church and you think, well, what am I doing? I listen to Bob. I get it. But I'm not doing enough. Become available. Present yourself to God, and He will use you. Promise, He'll use you. We're there to train people. We're also there to evangelize. Some of the trips we take strictly to evangelize. Some strictly to teach. I don't like that slide. Like I said, it's about being available. It's about responding to God wanting you to do something. Matthias started out with nothing. He still has nothing. Excuse me. He has a drawer at his house. He has a doorway, excuse me, but no door. He eats cassava. I made him promise me that if I gave him extra money every month, that he'd buy beans. So he'd give to some beans, which is protein, for each of his pastors because they weren't getting any protein. So we now buy 50 pounds of beans for these pastors so that they'll have some protein in their diet. His wife works with him. She wrote me a letter. In fact, in a newsletter that you all will get this week, I have some new ones out in the car, but she wrote me a letter. We are sending her kids to school. Now, y'all think about it here in the United States. Okay, Bobby, he goes to school. You know, he studies. They don't have that available. Y'all go to school. You study. Right? You study? Say, yes, Mom is looking. Okay. Y'all have the ability to study. The training is there. In Nigeria, they don't. And furthermore, if you're a girl, what difference does it make? If you're a girl, your job is to get married and have some babies. That's it. And, oh, and make sure you cook and clean the house. And usually cleaning house is just sweeping the mud or the dirt because you've got a dirt floor. Ladies, I cried last time I was there. A young lady who was 13, she already had one baby on her hip. She was pregnant again. And her child that was in her tummy had already been bought. So if it was a girl, it was going to be this guy's wife. Think about what I just said. As a baby born, knowing there's going to be this guy's wife, her husband was an 80-year-old man who used her because he could sell her for sex and make money. And if she did happen to get pregnant, wow, he sells the baby. I mean, so he can't lose. I mean, I just cried because you can't buy all of them out of slavery because all the ladies have had that happen to them. Ladies in that country are, excuse me, nothing. This lady has 8 children. And she wrote me a letter last week, 2 weeks ago, and we put it in the newsletter this week. And she said, Bob, she says, we were ready to get out of the ministry. We didn't know what to do. Matthias had told me, he said, Bob, he says, years ago somebody told me that, hey, to prove that I was a real man, I need to keep having my wife get pregnant. Boom, boom, boom. You know, have a baby, boom, get pregnant. Have a baby, get pregnant. He says, now I've got 8 children. He says, they're expensive, and I have no way to send them to school. We're now sending his kids to school. You know, we had a donor that said, hey, you know, that's horrible what's happening. And he sent some money to me and he says, I want to use this to send the missionary kids to school. That's what I want the money to be used for. We have it very good, ladies. We have it super nice. Anyway, Irene wrote us a nice letter and said, you know, they were almost ready to get out of the ministry because of their children's not able to go to school. And then she said, praise God. She waited. They had been praying. I'll tell you something else about this man. Every morning at 5:30, they're at the church praying. Not at the house, at the church. They have a prayer meeting every morning at 5:30. Why? And they have nothing. But they pray that we'll be taken care of here in America. One of the most encouraging things that happened to me since I've been with Village Ministries is I was at the Spokane conference. Pastor Bob was up there. I was going to speak that night, and I'd gone back to the hotel room, and I checked my computer to see if there were any messages, and I got a message from this guy, Matthias, and he says to me, Bob, I know you're at the Spokane conference. I know you're going to be talking about VMI. He says, know that there's 500 of us praying for you.
Now, these people have nothing, yet he's willing to pray for a guy like me. That's very humbling. These people pray every morning, 5:30. Even though Matthias is in Nigeria, he's read Matthew 28, verse 19. And it says, go and teach and baptize. Well, so what he's doing, he's taking his pastors down into the jungle, across the river, into Cameroon. And then he's evangelizing and teaching pastors over in Cameroon. The picture with the guy with the red shirt, here we are, we're teaching up in a village. You notice a real nice house there. Thatched roof. Just blocks that they cut out of mud. No door, just a doorway. That's the way they live. On the right-hand side, we're passing out Bibles. Every time we go, we take Bibles. What language do you take them in? English and Bete, B-E-T-T-E. Some of them can read English, some of them cannot. But we take Bibles, and then we buy Bibles. Last time we went, in December we went, and we took $1,000 and bought Bibles for $2 a piece. That's a lot of Bibles. They have no other way to get a Bible. But we bought Bibles when we got over there. So there, it's okay to have a Bible. Here we are at a church. Now look at y'all's church that you have here. This is the church. Welcome to Grace Bible Church, Imali. I've taught in that church, and I was telling Pastor Bob, you know, I said, how long do you want me to teach tonight? And they says, till you can't speak anymore. So, yeah, midnight. Okay. No, just kidding. But there's no lights in there. So once it got dark, they put a little candle, one candle behind me and one candle at the end of the building. And that's the only light we had. They love to hear us teach. Todd Kennedy, who's a good friend of your pastor's and mine, is going to go over and he's going to do a pastoral training for these guys in 2-week segments. So if Pastor Bob leaves and goes to Nigeria, you're going to know where he's at. He's down in the jungle. He's teaching. He's not going to be having fun. He's going to be working hard. He'll be sleeping on the floor. He'll be eating some rice, some cassava, and some stuff you don't want to talk about. Maybe a little goat, maybe a little monkey. Last time I was there, the first thing that happened, we got down into the jungle. They came running up to me and says, Pastor Bob, looky here. Here's dinner. And they were holding a black monkey. And I thought, okay, monkey, Ebola, Africa. Good thinking, Bob. Yep, why are you here, bud? I thought, okay, God, you've got me here. You're not going to kill me that way. So we're eating monkey, and we ate monkey. So you know, you just have to do what you have to do when you get there. The right hand up here, the guy in the white shirt, he's from Spokane. He's the one that went over Ron Kellum, and he decided that he wanted to help train the pastors, and so that's what they're going to do. In the lower corner, Tom Miller, he is the Pied Piper. If there are kids around, he's going to teach kids. He loves to teach children, and he's excellent at it. In fact, he is preparing a book, just like our foundation book, only it's going to be for young people, storybook of the Bible for young people. So we can train young people, women, and men. So we went to Nigeria, first place, and we became, at that time, we were known as Africa Village Missions. Then Jody and his wife and six other people went to Russia and Ukraine. and they ended up in Belarus. And in Belarus, they had a translator whose name was Volodya Felman, top-hand corner there. Volodya is a great teacher. He blows me away with his English. I mean, he's excellent. I speak Oki. He speaks real English. Really fine English. Anyway, he was Jody's translator for 2 years because Jody and his wife and the other eight lived there. They lived there for 2 years. For 2 years, Volodya translated for Jody. And one day, he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went home that night, and he told Miss Eva about Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. She became a believer that night. Doesn't stop there. They then went to their son, Sasha. They told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a believer. So you never know what you're going to say, when you're going to say something that's going to allow them to hear what God wants them to hear. And they're going to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's a pastor, has been a pastor. In fact, he's helped young Oleg. Oleg is in the bottom picture there. Oleg is now the pastor of the church there, and we've got four pastors there. Oleg's going to come to the United States soon because his son has a serious disease. They don't know what it is. They've had him in the hospitals. He's been there. He's done everything. They don't know what's wrong with him. We've got a church in North Carolina that has volunteered to bring them over here, house him. We've got a hospital in North Carolina that's going to treat him for free. We've got doctors that are going to treat him for free. And they're going to come over and get their son taken care of medically. We don't know what's wrong, but they will find out. And then they'll go back and he'll be the pastor there in Belarus. In Belarus, you have to understand something. The Belarusian government hates us. We're Americans. Belarusians hate us. Where Pastor Bob went in Ukraine, they're not so antagonistic toward Americans. In Belarus, they hate us. They search our rooms every time we go. They tap any phone calls we make. They tap any time we send email messages back and forth with Volodya or Oleg. We can't talk about money. We can't talk about the Bible. We can't talk about the church. We use code words so we can get the information back and forth to Oleg and Volodya. Volodya, we were driving around one day, and Volodya says, "When you see that man in blue, that policeman, what do you think?" I said, "Well, he's there to protect us." He said, "Oh, no, he's there to arrest us." He's there that when any time they want, there's some rule, some law that says they can arrest me as a Belarusian. He carries around with him a little satchel that has his whole life in it. Every paper that he needs, every document that he needs is in that little satchel. While I was there, he got stopped four times. They'd pull him over. I mean, he had some white guy in the car with him. So he got pulled over. And they'd run him in the little shack, and they'd make him go through all the paperwork. And then he'd come out and say, "Bob, were you praying?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was praying, my friend." And we'd go on down the road. We don't know how lucky we have it that we can come to Awesome Bible Church anytime we want and hear the gospel taught. It's a privilege. Like I say, they don't like us. We've been trying to build a church for 8 years. I did get a message from Oleg last week, and he said, "We're meeting in the church, finally, after 8 years, but it's not completed." He says, "It will be another 5 years, because they aren't letting us do the paperwork so we can get to church." But you can see that the exterior is done, So, you know, the bottom corner is what the church is going to look like. In the top right, a young man named Sergey. He is a pastor in the villages. He walks 5 miles to get to his church. His wife walks 5 miles to get to church. Now, it's not like strolling down Woodward Avenue. It's dusty. It's nasty. It's dirt. I have seen her push a buggy. They had one little child last time I was over there, and she was pregnant. Push a buggy to walk her 5 miles to get to the church so she could be with us every day. And then she'd walk back home, pushing a buggy with her baby and being pregnant. Now she has 2 small babies, and so she pushes them to get them to church. 5 miles. How many of you will be willing to walk 5 miles to get to this church? Don't raise your hands, please. I know you guys are starting to jump up, you know, but no. Sasha. Here's what Sasha does. Sasha is an orphan. And you see that I've got written there that he is an orphan, has an orphan ministry. In Belarus, when you're 16, you turn 16, September 1st after you turn 16, you're kicked out into society. While you're in the orphanage, you get 2 pairs of socks a year and a bed and 3 meals a day. One of them is water and something. One of them is a pea soup type stuff. And one of them, I have no idea what it is. You know, I have no clue what it is. But that's what they get. Sasha was in an orphanage. When he turned 16, September 1st, he got ready to leave, and they gave him 2 pairs of socks. He says, hey, guess what? You probably need to go see your mom. He's 16 years old. First time he even knew he had a mother. So he goes to see his mother. His mother says, hey, look, bud, you're 16 years old. I've got this wonderful guy I'm living with, but, you know, we need some vodka. You need to go steal so we can get some vodka. So, hey, he had no skills. So he went and stole to please his mother. First time in his life that he even knew he had a mother. Someone cared about him. And he got arrested. And he got put in jail. While he was in jail, he met a pastor. Pastor was had a prison ministry. Went over and said, hey, you know, anytime you get out of jail, come see me, we'll help you. Well, he got out of jail. So he goes back to his mother. Now she's living with another guy. Hey, son, you need to steal so I can have some more vodka. He says, stop. Last time I spent a year in jail. So he didn't. So he thought, you know, that pastor said I could come and see him anytime. So he went back to see this pastor. And the pastor said, I don't think I want an orphan or a convict in my church. No, why don't you go over and see that guy, Volodya Feldman? So he did. So he went to see Volodya Feldman. Volodya said, hey, you know, told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a believer. And then he started working with orphans. That's where his love is. He knows about orphans. So now he only works with other orphans. Because when they turn 16 and they're out, they have no skills, they're just out to survive. We went over there, my wife fell in love with one of these orphans. He was 16. It was July. He was on September 1st, he was going to be on his own. She says, can we adopt him? We almost brought a Belarusian back home. It's not like being here in the United States. Here we are with some campers. We did a camp, and we taught them how to cook and eat s'mores. What a treat. These kids were crazy. You know, they came to us. They were hard. They were cold. You know, they were orphans. And yet, you can see, they had a little duckling there that just treating with tender care. Who can go on a mission trip? Let me tell you. See this lady down here at the bottom putting the, we did a mini Olympics. Run the race for God was the theme. That lady, she's deaf. And she went on a mission trip. So don't tell me that you don't know enough Don't tell me that, oh, I stutter. Oh, be Moses. Oh, I stutter. So do I. I make mistakes all the time. Okay? She's deaf, and she still goes on mission trips. Oh, that's right. We also took a 14-year-old on that trip. Oh, she was too young. Wrong. She got in there and worked with those orphans, and you can see those orphans loved being around the 12 of us. Oh, that's right. You're too old? Too old to go on a mission trip? I had a young lady call me, and she was going on this trip, this very trip right here, and she says, talked about it, and then she says, but Bob, I'm 70 years old. Okay. So she sent her passport in, and I was doing some things with her passport, and I called her and make sure that everything was right with her trip, and we talked, and the last thing she said was, but Bob, I'm 70 years old. I said, what is this with you being 70? She says, well, you know, I had a missionary once tell me that if you're 70, you're just too old to go on a mission trip. I said, well, let's see, you've told me that you are a teacher in the high school, teaching teenagers. In your church, you teach young people. I said, we're going to Belarus, you and me. Now she goes over, we've got this 14-year-old, we've got a deaf person, we've got a 70-year-old, and then we've got a bumbling guy who's from Oklahoma. So, I mean, you know, what a contrast. So we have a appreciation day for the counselors. And we asked all 70-some of these kids how to please write a letter to their favorite counselor. I'm in charge of Village Ministries. I'm the CEO. I got two. Yeah. Beverly, 70. 70 letters for this old woman who was too old to go on a mission trip. 70 letters. It's like, they love her. You're not too old to go. You're not too young to go. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go. We then had Russia Village Missions and Africa Village Missions. We decided we need to call it one, Village Ministries International. Then we went to Ghana. We met James Owusu. James is a saint. He really is. He's got five pastors working with him. He's 65 years old. He's having health problems right now, heart problems, blood pressure problems. He's slowing down. And I asked James, we're in the car and we're driving an 8-hour drive to get to a region that we're going to teach pastors. And I said, James, how long are you going to continue to do this? He looked at me and says, Bob, there are 10 regions in the country of Ghana. I've only taught the Bible in two regions. I have to continue going until I've reached everybody in Ghana. That's the kind of pastor we have over there. Also, he's the guy who I said, James, how do you deal with the fact that I live in America? I have a nice car. I have a nice house. I have nice clothes. I can drive wherever I want. I can go wherever I want. You live in nothing. You have nothing. He looked at me as serious as could be, and he said, Bob, God has me here because I cannot deal with stuff. God has you there because you can deal with stuff. Pretty humbling. Pretty humbling. I mean, I just pray that one of these days I can, tie his shoes in heaven. You know, I just want to be his servant. Pretty neat. Anyway, here we are at a groundbreaking. We cut that tree down, and I watched those guys start building this church. It became a church within the year. If you don't have a church, guess what? You teach under the trees. Because when the rain comes, the rain comes. You've got to hide from the rain, so you teach underneath the trees. When the sun comes out, you hide from the sun, so you can teach. Next place we went was to Sri Lanka. It's a place where the tsunami hit. Mossy's got six pastors working with him. Mossy, again, is one of those guys that he's all these guys are, in my books, are saints. I look up to them. I really do. His goal is much like your pastor, to teach people so that they know the gospel, so that they know how to study, so that when he's gone, they can continue to study the Bible on their own. That's his goal. He teaches and teaches and teaches. In this month's newsletter, you'll read about, we were there in Sri Lanka, my wife and I and my daughter, and I always set the pastors down. I say, okay, what are your needs? What are your wants? What are your visions out here? So I can go back and talk to churches and tell churches, hey, they need a new van, or they need this, or they need a new church building. So we bought him, 1996, we bought him a three-wheeler. It's destroyed now. I mean, it's just, you know, running on the streets of Sri Lanka, they just don't last. So I asked him, I said, do you need a three-wheeler? And he says, no. Susie, his wife, is in the kitchen. You can hear her banging around, fixing supper for us. And she stops and she runs in. She says, she's got tears in her eyes. And she says, Bob, yes, we do need a three-wheeler. She says, when Mossy is up in the mountains teaching pastors, I have no transportation. I can't teach the ladies' class here. I can't do anything with the church here. I can't take my son PV to school here. I can't go get groceries here because he's got the only vehicle up there. We do need a vehicle. So my wife, being the softy that she is, she came back to our church. She talked to the ladies in the church, and she said, look, she says, I was there. I saw a lady crying, needing a three-wheeler. My prayer is we, as a church, can buy a three-wheeler for her. So the church, I think I've got some slides of it. The church did some garage sales. They started sewing aprons and napkins and stuff, and they went to a craft fair, and they earned $3,500 to buy Susie a three-wheeler. And now she's got a three-wheeler. Here we are teaching classes. Pastors in Gaul, which is where the tsunami hit, December 26, 2004. Here we are up in Da Gama. This is another humbling story. First time I was there, we were driving a van. We stayed all night in a village, and we were driving to the next village to teach, and we stopped alongside the road and picked up this man. He's an older man. A few minutes later, we stopped again and picked up a lady. And then we drove on to church. And they were going to walk 15 kilometers to go to church. Second time I went, I found out that they're the oldest couple in the church. Oldest couple in the church. They walk 15 kilometers to get to church. They never miss church. If the church doors are open, they're there. And that's a mighty fine church. We did put a new floor on the kitchen for Pastor Phillip's wife. We wheeled two wheelbarrows full of dirt in, packed it down, a brand new floor, dirt floor. That's how they live. They don't have a lot. What they have is the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't mind telling people that they know who He is. Here my wife and daughter are teaching about the essence of God. And again, we'll go for different reasons. Sometimes we'll take kids over and we'll do a summer camp. We'll do vacation Bible school. Sometimes we'll just do evangelism. Sometimes we'll just do pastor training. Here we were doing a youth camp last summer. Here we are with getting, this is Susie up in the corner, and then we're having a garage sale. In the bottom corner right underneath Susie is what a three-wheeler looks like. That's a three-wheeler. That's a mode of transportation. Next place we went was to India, and we found a guy by the name of Solo Phillip. Now, y'all wonder about how we get people. Well, usually they'll contact us through email. We'll correspond with them for a while, a couple months, 3-4 months. Then we'll go over and we'll visit with them. We may start supporting them then, we may not. With this guy, we didn't. We met him. Hawkins met him. And, we didn't support him. Now we support him. We send him $200 a month. $200 a month. He feeds a wife and two kids and then does a whole bunch more. His goal is, he doesn't have a very lofty goal. His goal is that he wants to reach every Indian. That would be 1.4 billion Indians. It's not very lofty. Because he says, oh, Bob, if I could just get all those, if I can just get the Indians, then I can go to Nepal. I can go to Africa. I can go to Arabian countries. He says, I just want to go. He says, I just want to teach. That's his goal. To win people to the Lord and to teach pastors to be better pastors. This is what his house looks like. He started building it. And he got a lot of the stuff given to him. In fact, he's got a teak door that just blows your mind away. Teak wood. If any of you know what teak wood is, it's really nice wood. He's got a teak wood door. Oh, it was given to him. Yeah, so, but here we are in their house, sitting on the floor, teaching. The ladies sat on one side, the men sat on the other side. Again, in India, women are property. That's what they are. Here we are. We've got some land right next to Solo's house that we're going to put up a Bible Institute. And I'm laying the cornerstone there so that one of these days we'll start building that once we get the money. We'll be going over the 27th of March to teach pastors, and we'll carry $20,000 over to build a Bible Institute. Again, teaching in India, they're phenomenal. They love to listen. They love to hear. They love to be taught. Here, they're teaching ladies. The ladies just sit there and listen as long as they will possibly teach them. Because remember, ladies are second-class citizens. They're property. Most of the time, the training is done for the man, and then the man comes home and tells the wife what was said. When they get personal attention, they don't want to leave. They begged my wife and my daughter to keep teaching, keep teaching, keep teaching, keep teaching. Next place we went to Nicaragua. Met a young man by the name of Cairo. Very young man. But he loves the Lord. He loves to teach. And so we were supporting him. And a pastor by the name of Mark Griffin in Oklahoma City, Grace Bible Church in Oklahoma City, Mark said to me, he said, Bobby, I think I want to go to Nicaragua. So he goes to Nicaragua. He comes back and comes in my office and he says, Bob, I can only tell you this. He says, I didn't want to come home. I said, what do you mean? He said, I just didn't want to come home. I said, okay. That's normal. You know, just it's okay. Just keep teaching. You know, maybe you'll go back one of these days. So the next year he went back. And then he started going back on a more regular basis. Each time he'd come back to me and say, Bob, he says, I'm going to live in Nicaragua. He sold everything, moved to Nicaragua to be a pastor's pastor. All he's doing is teaching pastors. Taking the foundation book, training them, taking Greek, taking Hebrew, and teaching them so that they can be pastors. Gave up everything here in the United States for that. Here they are just teaching pastors in Nicaragua. Again, all these places, you don't have to know the language to go on a mission trip. You have to be willing to go. Again, teaching pastors how to be pastors. See, y'all don't have a problem with knowing what a pastor does or how to do things or how to have a Sunday school class. They don't have that. They've sat in a Catholic Church. Priest has told them, here's what you do, period, over and out. Church is church. Young people, big people, little people, everybody sits in church. When you're one day old, you sit in big people church, period. Because they don't have Sunday schools. They don't have a ladies' class. They don't know that concept. So we're trying to teach that concept to them. Next place we went to Burma, Myanmar. Poorest country I've been in. Met a young man by the name of Timothy. We'd teach till 6 o'clock at night. He'd come over to the hotel at night and beg us to teach him. He says, you're only going to be here for 2 weeks. I need to know more and more and more. So we'd teach till midnight, and then we'd get up at 6 o'clock next morning, eat breakfast, go in and teach again. That night, 6 o'clock, guess what? Timothy would be back at the church, at the hotel. Hey, can you teach me some more? We've built a school and institute for him to teach pastors. And he's on the border between China and Burma. And they sneak across the border into from China into Burma. He trains them for 2 weeks, gives them literature, and they go back. It's illegal to have a Bible in your possession in Burma. If you get caught, you only spend 1 year in jail. 1 year. But in jails in Burma, you get a bowl of water a day, whether you need it or not. In other words, life expectancy is not a year. But you get a year. And Timothy said, I said, Timothy, you've got to be careful what you do, man. He says, it's okay. I just go to jail. And then I'd be like Paul. I'd have an audience that I could teach to. I said, but you've got 8 children at home, sir. He says, it's for God. I have to teach. I cannot be silent. Our problem when we go over there is that they usually don't harass us as Americans. They watch who we contact. Then as soon as we leave, they go and they go search that house. And they go search Pastor Gordon's house and Robert J's house and Timothy's house and Mimi's house. That's what they do. They hate us as Americans because we try to teach them about this book right here. Buddhists are big there. Buddhists hate us Christians. Can you imagine living in a country where people hate you because of your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have it so good. God treats us so good. Here we are teaching in a Bible school. You say, how can you teach in Bible school if you can't even have a Bible? Behind closed doors, behind locked fences, behind gates, in a deaf school. Oh, because you know those deaf people and those blind people, oh, they're stupid. They can't see, they can't hear. So the government doesn't even worry about them. So they put them in a closed gate in a building. We go in the building and we can teach all we want. Use their system so we can teach. Here we are teaching, Timothy's teaching, and Pastor Drew Freeman. I don't know if y'all, some of you know Pastor Drew Freeman. He and I were over there together and we're teaching. Again, they love to have to be taught. How can y'all go somewhere? If you young people want to go to Mexico, we're going to have 2 Mexico trips this summer. One to Brownsville, one south of Tucson. One south of Tucson, we go to a orphanage. Last summer we went, we taught the gospel, we taught about Jesus Christ. What a concept. And a lady wrote me and she says, Bob, she says, a lot of groups come down. And she showed me her calendar and every week there's a group coming down from America to her orphanage. She says, you're the first group that ever taught my kids and my staff about the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other groups come down. They want to dig a well, paint a building, put benches in, do something humanitarian. We went down. We taught the gospel, not only to the kids, but to the staff there. They are begging us to come back. So if y'all want to go, we can go and we can make an impact. Last year we went to Peru. As we don't have pastors there, Peru, Nepal, China. Charlie's going to be going to Tanzania next month. Oh, I'm sorry, April, a brand new country. Why would we go there? I don't know. One of the churches asked me, well, how do you decide where you're going to go? I said, I don't. I gave that up. When I first started with VMI, I had this elaborate plan. Okay, here's what we're going to do. And then God just kind of kicked me right in my shins, and I realized it's up to Him. And so now we wait. We start getting those phone calls. We start getting those email messages from people. And then we realize that's where we need to go. But it's hard to be patient. That's not one of my qualities. I don't like being patient. You can ask my wife. Foundations. How do we teach? What do we teach? We've got a book. You know, it's called Foundations. It's a very simple book. Did you know that there are 66 books in the Bible? The Bible's broken up into two sections, an old section, Old Testament and New Testament. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. That's what this book tells you. And to study the Bible, you know what you have to do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Pray about it and start studying. It takes belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you see, Paul was probably the smartest man that knew the most about the Bible, most about religion, excuse me, wasn't the Bible at that time, because he was writing the Bible. But he wasn't a believer. But when he got on the road to Damascus, God made it personal to him. And the guy who knew the most about religion began writing books to help us live our lives. So the foundation book is just a very simple book. It's written on the fourth grade level so I can understand it. You know, even Hawkins can read it most of the time. Sometimes you have to draw pictures for Hawkins. You know. But, you know, usually he gets it. Usually Dan gets it, you know. He's going to hate me. We've printed over 40,000 of these books, sent them overseas. First time we had our foreign printing was in Burma. Printed them, and we taught from while we were there. We just ordered another 2,500 for here in the United States, because people are using them in prisons. We sent some to Ralph LaRosa, 2,500 to Ralph LaRosa in Tagalog over in the Philippines. They're just a tool to use to study the Bible. Because you guys can go to the local Christian bookstore or on the internet and get Bibles, Bible books, dictionaries, commentaries, things like that. They can't do that in foreign countries. So we provide it for them. These are the translations we've done so far. And in progress, we've got Bengali, which is in India, German, Mongolia, Portuguese in South America, Russian, Sinhalese, and Chinese. Chinese is not... It was done. It was done by an American. We took it to China, and they laughed, and they says, that is textbook Chinese. You cannot use that here. So they're redoing it in conversational Chinese from the Chinese viewpoint. So yes, we thought we had it done, but it's not done. What can y'all do? Right there. Pray, pray, and pray. Please, pray for VMI. Pray for Matthias. Pray for Oleg, Volodya, Sasha, Sergey, James, Masi, Solo, Cairo, Mark, and Timothy. If you guys want to go on a mission trip, please come up here and sign up on a sheet. Doesn't mean you have to go. You know, your pastor's gone to the Philippines with us, taught foundations. That was a pastoral training. You know, he went over to train pastors. But if you want to go somewhere to do just an evangelistic or a vacation Bible school, we'll try to make that happen. If you sign up, it doesn't mean you have to go. If you go, the only thing you really have to do is get your passport and get your shots. And then we take care of all the administrative part of it. That's what VMI is about. I know I've run a little bit over. I get excited. I really enjoy these guys. These guys are saints. They're hard workers. They're working every day, and they're facing problems every day that we don't have to face. And they're doing it with almost nothing. And most of them live way below our poverty level. Way below. I mean, if you've got a dirt floor, that's below our poverty level. Any questions about what I've talked about? And let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and then rose again on the third day. That's our hope, that He will come again soon. Help us to be your servants and help us to be your witness to tell other people about your Son every day, all the time, so that when your Son does come again, we'll be ready for Him. Help us to live our lives like you would want us to live. And thank you for this church. Thank you for this pastor who works, studies, and even though he's studying in his bare feet, please take care of him. Give him the strength to continue to study, because then he stands in this pulpit and teaches. And that's what we need. We need men of God that teach, and we need people of God that go out and tell people about your Son. Again, thank you for your love. Thank you for this church. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.